Good morning. Welcome to local church. I've been waiting to say that for a year. Welcome to local church. Yeah. Hey, my name is Barry, and I am a pastor at a church called The Grove. And I got to tell you that we are so excited. I say we, meaning the entire church, The Grove Church, is so excited for what's happening here at Mims Elementary School, what's happening today, the first Sunday of every month, what's happening in Pastor Paul's life and Nicole's life and Tyler and the team. We are incredibly thankful for what God's doing here, for the obedience shown. Let's just talk about that for a church plant for a moment, right? It was hard to give out your best. What I've learned with this church is when you give out your best, it hurts, right? Because they go and they do better than you do. And they grow faster than you do. They look better than you do. They do better than you do. And I just learned that we have to celebrate this for the kingdom of God coming to Mims, coming to Titusville, coming to coastal Central Florida. So Paul, well done, man. Well done. I'm thankful for you. I'm honored, but I got to tell you, I'm also nervous as crap. My knees are weak. My palms are sweaty. Got vomit. No, I'm just kidding. Not that bad yet, but I really am. I told him on Thursday, I think we sat in my office and I just went over the notes and I said, I am so nervous. And he's like, Barry, it's Thursday. And I was like, I know, I can't eat till Sunday, right? Like, but here's the truth. I really am thankful to be here. And here's what's cool is we go to local. I feel like I'm on the same team. I feel like I wore your uniform. I wore my boots today because I knew Paul and Matt Miller would like them. And both guys liked them right when I walked in. So I was like, okay, good. Don't wear Vans, wear these boots, right? I wore my nicest khakis. Don't look too close because they are stained and ripped in certain places. And I put on a shirt that I thought Paul would approve of. Do I look like Paul Jr.? All right. If Paul could grow one of these, local church is going to have to expand. All right. So, but here's the truth is, I feel like we're on the same team. We might wear a different uniform, but it's very similar. And that started making me think, like, when I leave here, I'm going to run up to the Rock Church, another one of our church plants. And you walk in there, and it feels a little different than you are here. It feels different than The Grove. But I'm going to go there and love on those guys and get to stand with Pastor Oscar. And the same thing, I feel like we're on the same team. And across the board, the reason why we're on the same team is because we do the same things. We do the same practices and basic practices to reach people that no one else is reaching. The goal and desire of local church is to reach a certain percentage of Mims. There's an oval sticker on many of your trucks. What's that number? Why do I hear like 1791? I think I got it. 1791, right? It's like this desire that we would see people come to know Jesus. And here's how we do this is we do the basic things. So anybody know what this is? A baseball bat. Anybody know what this is? A tee. This is a Tanner tee. If you know anything about baseball, you know, like, this guy is the best hitting coach that we've ever had in Major League Baseball. And if you know that tees are for what age? T-ball, of course. They're for our 3-year-olds and our 4-year-olds. Like, they're for little kids, right? Tees put in work. But you know who else swings on these tees? The best hitters in Major League Baseball. See, a tee is not for just a little kid. A tee is the foundation and the basics of a great hitter. Anybody ever play baseball? We got some baseball legends in this room right now, so don't correct my swing. I caught one as he came in, and I said, please don't tell him that I'm doing this wrong. You know who you are. I won't look at you right now. But there's something about a tee that makes better hand-eye coordination. It's now you can break down the science of your swing from your step to your hips to your elbow to everything that works through a baseball swing. There's something about lining up on this tee and just taking hit after hit after hit, draining the buckets, right? I remember I wasn't the greatest athlete. And on my baseball teams, often my guys would get to go do live batting practice. And I was one of the select few that always got stuck on the tee. Anybody else? No honesty here. Okay, sure. I played against some of y'all. Don't forget, I grew up here too. So you sucked, I remember. So yeah, I'm just the only honest one, so it's okay. But tee work is important. It's the basics. It's the fundamentals. But it makes you a better hitter. Here, check this video out. I think you'll recognize this guy. Did y'all hear that? That was beautiful. So what's happening is you got a dad and a son. You got a left-hander and a right-hander. Oh, yeah. Do you hear what the dad said? Oh yeah, home run. You know who that dad is? One of the best looking dudes in Major League Baseball. Freddie Freeman. Worst trade that's ever happened to Atlanta, right? Went to the Dodgers, right? Went to the Dodgers. But here's what's happening. This, woo, glorious, isn't it? What, you know what Freddie Freeman's doing to his son? He's discipling him. See, what Freddie Freeman's doing and to put into a church Sunday morning term is he's demonstrating to him. He's allowing him to do it. And then he's encouraging him along his way. And then he's demonstrating again. That sounds a lot like Paul and I on coaching and church planting. We do this together day in and day out. Church plant, church plant, church plant. You know what we don't do every single day? Plant a brand new church. But you know what we do a lot of? We go back to the T. And we talk about fundamentals. We talk about where we want to be in the plate, where we want to be outside in the box, where we want our elbows to be and our fingers to line up. We take swings and hacks, bucket by bucket by bucket, baseball by baseball by baseball, because this makes us better. I don't know if y'all watched the World Series this year, but that guy, Freddie Freeman, you guys remember game one? No? Yankees fans in here, you remember it. Because that joker had a walk-off grand slam for game one, went on to be the MVP of that whole World Series, and the Dodgers won. I know, I hate it too, because he'd still be a Braves guy, right? But here's the truth. That's one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball. What's he doing in the offseason? He's batting on his pool deck at his house, because the basics is what helps you be a better hitter. If you want to hit home runs, you hit on the tee. If you want to hit better off different pitching, you don't hit off live pitchers first. You hit better off the tee, and the tee makes you in all a better hitter. And what I want us to think of is, how do we take the tee principle or analogy and apply it to our spiritual life? Because isn't that our goal on Sundays? We want to look into God's word and say, hey, what does God's word tell us today that we can be a better son, a better daughter, better husband, better wife, a better local light? What do you call them? Oh. Yeah, local lady. There you go. Tyler, you're the best local lady I've ever seen. So just beautiful. But, you know, how do we do this better, right? Well, we do it better by getting in the box. We do it better by taking tee work and taking practice. And I feel like there's certain scriptures that I would say are the basics of Christianity. There's scriptures where we sit on them and we hit over and over and over and over again. And one of those is in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to spend our day there. Matthew chapter 28. It's known as the Great Commission, but you got to understand, like, Jesus didn't say, like, hey, here's the Great Commission, I'm about to leave, right? But it is one of the last things he says to the disciples, and then what we get by the grace of God through the word of God, we get this Great Commission. And I feel like it's a foundation of our tea works. Like, if we want to follow Jesus better, we just went through the book of Acts here, or we went through 9 or 10 chapters, I believe. You peeked into Acts, got a few more to go. But as you worked your way through Acts, the Great Commission is interwoven through every chapter. You can't get a chapter of Acts without Matthew 28. It just won't happen, because it's Acts is them living out Matthew 28. Here's what it says. It's on the screens, or you can look in your program or look with me on a phone. If you're following along on YouVersion, there's some program notes there, or look right here with me. Maybe you've seen this before, maybe you haven't. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a beautiful start for us, right? Let's catch up to where we are at this time for scripture. Jesus had just been brutally murdered. He was buried, because that's the whole thing of salvation, that he conquered earthly life, earthly death, the grave, and he resurrected to new life, giving you and I the opportunity to receive new life in him, right? Through his death. And it's after the murder or the crucifixion of the cross. He comes back. He sees the disciples behind the locked door in the crowded or the locked room first. Then he sees the few. Then he sees the many. Now, by now, he's seen the multitude. Theologians would say that thousands of people have seen Jesus by this time. And he says, hey, check this out. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I might want to teach us a little something if you've never heard this before. I remember being in college. How many of you guys barely made it through college? Me too. But I went to Bible college and I got married after my freshman year. That's the only reason why I made it through. My wife helped me stay on course, right? But I remember one of my professors, I actually had the same professor multiple times. Multiple times I had this same exact professor, and he was a theology guy, a New Testament guy. That was awesome. And one of the things he taught us was anytime you get to a certain word in scripture, you got to pause and reflect. And one of those words is therefore. And he said something. I wish I remembered more of college than I do. I have to work pretty hard at remembering back. I graduated in 04. But I do remember this one phrase. Find out what's the therefore, therefore. So now look back at the scripture with me. It says, therefore, go and make disciples. What's the therefore, therefore? It's to tell you this. This is Jesus's last words, some of his very last commands or commissionings to the believers in the room, not just to the disciples of the day, but to the believers today, right? That's me and some of you that Jesus is calling us for. And he's saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now take that authority and go make disciples. It's the primary command of why we do what we do. Why do we study God's word? To know God more. Why do we want to know God more? So we can help others know God more. And it's this whole concept of why do you plant churches? Make more disciples. See, there's never going to be one church that can reach everyone in one community. You know what every community needs? Life-giving churches. Differences, right? Like we all like ice cream, don't we? I'm not even allowed to have dairy and I still eat ice cream all the time. I pay the price because it's worth it. Ice cream's that good, right? But we all don't like the same flavor. There's no way we could buy one flavor of ice cream and all of us just love it. There's no way that could happen. But you know what's good about ice cream? All the different flavors. You know what's good about church planting? All the different flavors. That we're leaning in saying, hey, we believe this to be true. We believe this to be true. Making disciples is the core of who we are. It's what we're called to do from the Great Commission of Jesus. All authority is given to him. Now, therefore, go make disciples, Paul. Go make disciples, Tyler. Go make disciples, Barry. Go make disciples to you, the follower of Jesus. It's not just a pastoral phrase, or it's not a task only given to the local church, but it's given to all believers, anyone that confesses Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And here's what I say, again, I'm so excited for what you guys are doing. Man, when we sent you two out and we let you handpick core and say, hey, these are the people I want to pray to ask to come with me, I never knew how bad that would hurt. I never knew losing some of like the good people. I had a list built. Some of y'all were on that list actually, but it was the list that I wanted to get rid of. And I said, Paul, Tyler, here's a great church, man. You should take this 55 people, right? You didn't take any of them. You stuck me with all of them. They're still there right now, right? Daggone it. But you pick the best of the best. And then we see the results. We see the salvations. We see the baptisms. We see the life change. We see restorations. See, Paul, we talk wins every single week. Every now and then we got to talk losses too, don't we? Every now and then we talk about the frustrations of what the local church or what the Grove or what gathering people does for you. There's some losses there. But all those times, that's teamwork, man. When me and you talk about losses, it's just us picking up a bat, stepping in front of a tee, and just taking turns, correcting each other's arms and swings and hips and movement and eye-hand coordination and all of the mechanics that goes into hitting a baseball, which, by the way, that's probably the hardest thing you could ever do in sports, is hit a major league baseball player's pitch. A fraction of a millisecond is what it takes to hit 100 mile an hour fastball. 0.15% of a second. That's insane, right? And Freddie Freeman does it all the time. And you know what it shows? It shows his teamwork. It shows that he puts in the basics and he understands that making disciple is the greatest command we can do as believers. So this is what we do. So Paul, Tyler, hey, well done hitting home runs. Guys, I think local church is a walk-off grand slam in game one of the World Series. I truly do. Here we are 14 months in, or we just started our 15th month. Keep hitting home runs, you guys. Keep hitting home runs. But the way you're going to do that over the next months and years is you're going to put in some teamwork, right? You can't hit grand slams every at bat. Why is that? You got to load the bases, right? But you can keep hitting home runs. You guys keep hitting home runs. Put in the teamwork. And then together as a church, individually, this is what we get to do on Sundays, and then Monday through Saturdays, we get to put in the tea work right on our back porch with our kids watching, with our spouses watching. We take turns figuring out, what does this mean for us to trust Jesus? What does this mean for us to make disciples? So here's three practical steps. I would say if I had a hitting coach up here, that hitting coach is probably gonna give you one or two practical steps. You can't change someone's entire swing in one practice, right? But you might give them one hand alignment, line your knuckles up. You might give them one other adjustment of like, hey man, keep your elbow up, or tuck your arms in, bring your arms in when you swing, or make sure your step and your swing is in alignment. Like, don't work them against each other, but use all of that. Or here's what I like a lot right now in high school baseball. I like a lot of kids telling them to sit still. Just get your foot out there. Don't worry about the whole dancing and moving and jumping thing, because it's too much for you to focus on swinging a bat, right? So just put your foot out there, and we make one little adjustment, one little tweak. Well, I believe in scripture. When we read the scripture, we need to look at what can we take for one little tweaks. What's one little T workout we can take for here? So I got three practical steps for you this morning, or for me this morning. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Biblical T work means we share it. We share it. And what I mean by share it is this. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How do you make disciples? You share it. Freddie Freeman's batting on his back porch with his little kid. He's got three little boys. You know what he's doing with those little boys? He's not saying, hey man, daddy's got to go to work in a little bit, so you need to back up. Daddy's got to hit. No. He's sharing it. Of course, he's correcting and changing those boys' swings when he needs to. But you know what a good dad does? Exactly what Freeman did. Home run. Celebrate and cheer him on. In that little video, that little kid hits the ball, runs over, does the little awkward dance, then runs off to his mom, slides on his knees like he just hit a home run. And then in the background, you hear one of the most beautiful sounds in baseball. A connection of Freddie Freeman bat to ball. It's gorgeous. But it's just discipleship. And that video goes like two rounds of Freddie taking a swing, his boy taking a swing. Freddie taking a swing, his boy taking a swing. That's sharing it. How do we share the Great Commission? We talk about it. Let me ask you guys a question, just a quick show of hands. Has Jesus done something radical in your life? Not like this, dude. I said, has Jesus done something radical? Like, this is like Jesus done something in your life. You tell people about it. When you have a great experience somewhere, that's like the first thing we do is we tell people about it. If it's a restaurant, we tell people. I know some restaurant owners in here be pretty thankful for the reviews of their restaurants, right? We got some great restaurants in and around this area. And those reviews have helped grow the restaurant because you're telling people about the great experience that you had. Those same restaurant owners, if you ever have a bad one, don't post it, but call them privately, right? Go tell their little brother and then I'll tell them to clean it up, okay? So, but you can fix those. You can, some of y'all had that experience. You know what I'm talking about. So you can grow things by reviews. You can grow things by sharing it. Well, that's exactly why Jesus gave us the gospel the way he did. He could have gave all of us stone tablets and said, hey, share these with your neighbors. Pass them around your community and let everyone have them for a day or two at a time. But he never did that. You know what he did? He gave us the verbal gospel and tells us to share it. Therefore, go make disciples. You can't make a disciple without telling them about Jesus. You can grow someone in Christ, but you can't make a disciple without telling them about their need for a savior. And here's a truth that I know Pastor Paul does an incredible job with. Every one of us sitting in this room are in need of a savior. Is that true? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your sin and my sin might look completely different. Some of y'all are really bad off and you really need Jesus. You know how I know? Because you cheer for the Seminoles. And I'm telling you, God does not look lightly on that. He holds that very harshly. I'm just telling you right now, like Gator fans, there's like a step up in the kingdom of heaven for you. Seminole fans, I'm telling you right now, you need repentance. And you practice that often. Every time you wear them ugly colors, you must practice repentance. But we share about it. We talk about it. Our need for Jesus is equal. Though the needs that got us there might be different. Our sins might be grosser than others. I tell people all the time, man, like my sin might be different than yours, but if you knew me inside and out, you wouldn't want anything to do with me. Because my sin would wreck me and it would wreck you if they were all exposed. But the truth is Jesus knows that and he loves me all the same. He loves me so much so that he willingly, Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Romans 5:8 says that while I was still a sinner, in my Bible, I don't know what yours says, but it says, Barry, you little pervert, while you were a sinner, Christ died for you, exclamation point. Read yours for yourself, Romans 5:8. Mine's like written out to me when I was in the worst of my worst, my darkest hour, my darkest day, furthest away from Christ a human possibly could be. Jesus Christ knows me and loves me. And I got to tell the world about it. It's my goal in life to speak about the gospel any chance I get. To live according to the gospel is our commissioning of Jesus. One of the last phrases he says is put in the work. Don't think in Christianity you're going to get up every day and just hit a home run if you don't put in the T work. Don't think for you, if you have an experience with Jesus, but you don't tell your neighbors about it, if they're ever going to experience the same Jesus you've experienced. Someone must tell them about the Jesus encounter. That person you work with that you feel like is far from God, hey, they're not as far as you think they are. They're just waiting to hear what Jesus has done in your life. And then when they hear what Jesus has done in your life, they're going to want the same Jesus you've had. Paul just went through those first 9 chapters of Acts. And I just want to remind us that Acts chapter 1 is the commissioning being lived out. See, this Matthew 28 passage of go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is literally Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know what he says by witnesses? He says, you're gonna go tell people about what I've done in your life, and they're gonna want what I've done in them, or in you and them. And then he says, hey, start at home. Start right where you live right now. So think about this for you. I know today at the Grove, we're preaching on neighbors. And we're preaching on the idea of like, who's the fixed people that live directly in and around us? And then what are we going to do, not just to know them, but share the love of Jesus with them? And then how are we going to do that times however many houses we have in and through the Grove Church? That's the same thing Paul's saying in Acts. Start at home. And then go to the next town over. And for Titusville, you know, it's an upgrade to be able to drive north and come to MIMS, isn't it? I know you guys feel really bad for us that live in Titusville. I know you do. You're like, God, what a lesser than village than MIMS, right? I can see it in your face. When I come here, it's like, there's a pride here, right? Like, you're MIMS, right? That has always blown me away because I only know sections of MIMS, all right? And the sections I know, hey, Jesus loves you, okay? So he loves you. He actually likes you too, but that's just where I know, right? But here's the truth is we get to do this. We get to be the witnesses here and there and then to the ends of the earth. Don't forget that our biblical Christianity is not an American God. We don't serve an American Jesus. We serve a global Jesus. He died for humanity. He died for the nations that we've been at war with our whole life. He died for them too. I don't know if y'all heard about the 40 Christians killed in Cameroon the past few weeks, but did you know he died for the terrorists who killed the 40 Christians? That the work of the cross doesn't be taken away or cannot be taken away because someone does horrific things. It's impossible to take away what Jesus has already done. So the goal for the believer and the Christian in the room today and walking the earth is to share what Jesus has done in your life. All the nations. It's our responsibility with the ones we know first. The platform of the friendships and the workplaces and the neighbors and where we live, work, and play is a message that we use often in church planting world. Like wherever you live, wherever you work, and wherever you play, that's your mission field. That's who you're responsible for today. Do they know the same Jesus you know? Have they experienced the same Jesus you've experienced? And if they don't yet, have you shared with them the opportunity of the know-how? Go make disciples of all nations. It's teamwork. See, it's like we want theology and we want to go deeper in our teaching. We want to go deeper in our understanding of scripture. But what Jesus says before he leaves the earth, he doesn't tell people to go deeper in your thought. He says, go back to the T. Do the basics and the fundamentals. Share me with them and do it often. And do it here, there, and to the ends of the earth. Take the name of Jesus as far as the name of Jesus will go. But we don't just tell people about it. We demonstrate. We demonstrate the gospel and the Great Commission. That's what Freddie Freeman's doing to his son. He's demonstrating to his boy. Hey, don't just watch dad when I'm at work, but watch me at home also. Dads, let me ask you guys, how much T work are you doing in front of your little boys? Are you speaking to their mom in a way that's honoring God? Because that's teamwork. That's fundamentals. That's like the easy part. Are you loving your wife like Christ loved the church? Are you teaching your children how to fall in love with the same Jesus that somewhere along the way you've fallen in love with? That's teamwork. That's discipleship. That's making more disciples. The number one person in your child's life to point them to Jesus should be you. Not the teacher, not Pastor Paul, not Tyler, not anyone else that loves them and serves them throughout their weeks. It's moms and dads. And I just ask, how much teamwork are you putting in to demonstrate to them what does it look like to follow Jesus? This is that Great Commission tells us teamwork is to show the world. Second thing I want you to see is we first share it. Secondly, we show the world. This is what he says, that next part of verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a part of being a disciple. Following Jesus, there's a step in that process of you being baptized. Paul did a great job talking about what baptism is. I don't know if y'all can see this water. But daggone, that's some Mims water right there. I'm not even sure if that's safe to submerge in. But Jacob and Chase, praise God, right? He'll see you through. He'll see you through it. I would dye that water dark blue, you guys. Put that in a note somewhere. I would put some chlorine or something, Kool-Aid pack or something in that water. But that water does nothing. We got it worse. We got Titusville water. You guys know what's in Titusville water? Fertilization. But from the human consumption, right? Like, it's worse. And we tell you all the time, you get in our baptism tanks, that's doo-doo water. Like, it's not. It's going to change you, but for the worse, all right? Not for the better. So it's just water. So that water means nothing. Those horse troughs, they're from Tractor Supply across the street, aren't they? They mean nothing. Like, that's just all they are. There's nothing special about it. But what's special is the internal decision, Chase and Jacob, that you guys made, not today, but leading up to today. And then what that did is outwardly in front of family and friends, in front of your church, you made the decision to say, hey, watch me. Follow Jesus. That's what you said with your testimony of your life by going under the water. You're telling the people around you, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm gonna mess this up, but come and see, follow me to Jesus. And you're opening up the invitation. Anyone that's ever been baptized, that's what you're saying, is you're showing the world that I'm a follower of Jesus. And anytime you mess this up, the faster you repent and ask for forgiveness, the better it is. Go back to husbands and wives right there. Husbands, we should be first. Listen, if there's a little conflict in that marriage, if there's a little bump, hey, repent first. We should be the ones that lead by example, especially if we got kids living in the house. If kids are living in the house, they know you're fighting. They know you're faking, acting like you're happy coming to church this morning. Your kids have already outed you over here in Local Kids. They told their teacher, my mommy and daddy are fighting. They've already said it. It's been said. But you know what you can do? Change the trajectory of that. And you can ask for forgiveness and you can demonstrate what does it mean to love them, to show them. I get so excited on the first Sundays of every month. Today at the Grove, we're baptizing 25 people. Today, Orchard Lies, we baptized 27 people, right? That's what we count math. We don't compete against the two. We add them together and we celebrate what God's doing. But I love first Sundays of the month. I love the fact that Stuart has to teach like an 11-minute message at third service because there's 19 baptisms in the one service, right? Like I had to do it last month, right? Children's ministry was ready to kill me. I only taught for 15 minutes, right? But I love it. Here's what I know about April 6th. That's your next baptism. So if you saw Jacob and Chase today and you said, hey man, I think that God's doing something in my life just like he did in their life, go talk to them. Don't go to Pastor Paul, go to Jacob and Chase. Knees are weak, palms are sweaty right now. I just saw it. Y'all's hands were like, oh my God, what did he just say? Don't ever invite this guy back, right? Go talk to them because they're the one that just experienced what God's doing. Let them share with you what Jesus is doing in their life. And it's been a while leading up to it for some. And as it's worked that process, they finally get to the place where they celebrate baptism in front of their family and church. Go ask them, how'd you get there, man? How do I do that? Because here's your next day, April 6th. The first Sunday of every month. That's what we do at the beginning of every single month. We have baptism. I loved one of the months. Paul said, I'm filling the tub. I don't know if we have a baptism or not, but I'm gonna fill it up. And I was like, that's my boy, dude. That's my boy. Like, that's why we sent them. Because the faith that they have, we know that God's gonna show up. All we gotta do is do our part. But we share it. We tell people what Jesus has done in our life. That's taking swings. You don't have to be a professional to bat off the tee. Matter of fact, tomorrow, some little kid at Mims Little League is going to let go of a bat and hit another little kid. Both kids will be perfectly fine. One of them's going to grow up to love baseball. One of them's going to grow up to hate baseball. I'll let you figure out who's who, right? But there's going to be little kids taking cuts on the tee. And they're going to fall in love with, man, hitting's fun. And the more I practice, the better I'm going to get at hitting. That's a lot like Christianity, isn't it? The more you fall in love with Jesus, the better it is. The more you start to share, you realize you don't have to be a professional to share Jesus. You can be a T-ball Christian and share what Jesus is doing because it's the same swings, it's the same hacks. I watched it myself with Freddie Freeman and his youngest son. Freddie gets up left-handed and takes a beautiful swing on the tee. His son gets so excited, grabs a ball, puts on a tee, lines up just like his dad, but as a right-hander, takes a beautiful cut on the tee. Dads, he encourages him. He runs off, does his dance, slides on his knees. Everything's great. In Christianity, it's the same way. We demonstrate this. We demonstrate it through baptism, though baptism is not the end goal. It's a step in the process, yes, but like once you get baptized, you haven't graduated Christianity and you're done. No, continue to live this out. Show them what this looks like for us to continue to follow Jesus. Here's the third thing I want you to see, is in our lives, through the Great Commission, we teach the word. Hey, we share it, we show the world, and we teach the word. You don't have to be called to be a pastor or a teacher to teach the word of God. This is what Matthew 28:20 said. Jesus says this after the brutal murder, after the burial, where he conquered heaven, hell, death, and its sting. And he raises again to new life. He comes with all authority in heaven and on earth. And he says, hey, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And look what he says in verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Man, when I think of 66 books broken down from Genesis to Revelation, there's a lot of commands in scripture, isn't there? Just in the Old Testament alone, I'm reading the one-year Bible. Anybody doing Bible Recap with Tara Lee Cobble? She's a genius, isn't she? Bible Recap's a great plan to read through the Bible through a year chronologically, so in order of how it was written. And I'm in Numbers right now, and Numbers is really hard for me to stay focused. So I read it out of my paperback, and I listen to it throughout the day in my headphones so I can get it more than once, more than one way, right? But even in the Old Testament, hearing all these commands to live up to and to live by, it's really hard. And then to take Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and he takes it like to the next level. It's really, really difficult. But I can't skip over the T work of this is the commands and the basics that you and I, to follow Jesus, means to share with the world what Jesus has done in our life. It means for ourselves to take the steps of believing and following in Jesus. And one of those steps, being baptized and sharing that gift with our family and friends and with our church. And then to teach them to obey everything I have commanded. One of the questions I ask myself just as I reflect throughout the day is, did I honor God today with my time and my efforts? I just ask, how have I obeyed scripture today? I'm meeting with a few guys. The church would call that discipleship. I like to just call it fishing, right? But we just meet with some guys together, either on the boat or in the truck, normally never in an office. And I just ask them, how have you obeyed scripture today? How have you obeyed scripture? Have you put God first? Because Matthew 6 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. Have you forgot your sins and practiced repentance? Because the Bible tells us that the Father holds our sins against us no more than the east is from the west. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but that's for eternity. He forgives them and he replaces them. Like, are you loving your wife like Christ loved the church? Are you teaching and demonstrating to your children, to your sons and your daughters, how to follow Jesus? Like, how are you obeying scripture today? Because if we're not asking ourselves that, we're not batting the tee work that God taught us, we're never gonna hit the home runs that we expect. It's the basics of the T works. Like, continue to do what you know you can do, and your mechanics get better, your speed gets better, your disciplines get better, your eye-hand coordination gets better, all of those things get better, which results in better hitting. Spiritually speaking, the more you get to know Jesus. It's not about how much more you can build up or puff up. Matter of fact, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. It's not about you puffing up in greater theology, greater understanding of a deeper scripture of truth. It's not about that. It's about how have you shared what you've learned and experienced with someone else around you? How can we go back to the T and bat on the T to grow in the strengths that we have? Often I'm reminded of that all scripture is God-breathed. I want to pick around and like choose things and say, hey, this is a really good verse for me. I'm gonna hold tight to that one. But man, this one, it's really, really hard. I taught on Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 last week. I promise you that's not highlighted in your Bible. I promise you. Go look it up later today. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. It's not highlighted in your Bible, but I taught last week on that passage of scripture. Why? Because it's all profitable to us. It's all useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. So local church, I ask you this today. How have you obeyed scripture? How are you going to live out the great commissioning, the call of Christ on the believer's life to not just trust and obey, but to share everything you've experienced in and with Jesus with someone else today? Not everyone's called to be an evangelist, but through Matthew 28, everyone's called to share their story. Not everyone's called to be a preacher or a teacher, but through Matthew 28 and the T work or the basics of this, everyone is called to obey scripture. So how do we do this? How do we obey what the Lord's given us today? As the team comes back up, they're gonna lead us in one more song. And I just wanna ask us in this time of reflection or preparation of worship, what does it look like for us to obey the teaching of scripture in and through our life? Here's some ways you can do that. If we're called to share and go make disciples, right now, just silently where you are. Do you know someone far from God? They're close to you, but far from God. If there's someone in your circle of friends, your influence, maybe at your workplace that needs to know your story of Jesus, just ask the Lord that real quick. As that name illuminates in your heart, man, I just challenge you. The Spirit of God just placed that there, not Barry, not Paul, not the church, but the Spirit of God. Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, those who were once far from God have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know how they know about the blood and the suffering of the cross? Is by you telling them your story, how Jesus rescued you from the pit of hell where they're living in right now. Maybe it's in their broken relationship. You've been through a broken relationship. Maybe it's in a health scare and they're praying that God would show up in a mighty way, but they don't even know how to pray to God. Maybe you've walked through something where you can say, hey, God got me through this. He's gonna get you through this. Let's pray. Maybe it's a financial crisis and you say, man, I've been there plenty of times. Let me tell you how good my God is. Maybe it's some suffering or hurt, but if God put a name on your heart, that's how you can begin to share that. Now, what about this? Maybe you say you've come to local for a while and you've heard about this Jesus. You've heard that God has a perfect plan for your life, but you've never fully surrendered to that perfect plan. Did you know that God knows you and he loves you? Do you know that in that plan, his call to you is to repentance, but you must choose to recognize you're a sinner in need of a savior? And you have to call upon the Lord and ask Jesus to be the Savior in and through your life. And then when you do that, salvation comes. Your eternity is set in the presence of God. But your life here on earth also, now the promise of scripture is everywhere you go, I go with you. It's the beautiful part of this command. Go make disciples. And Barry, don't worry about it. Everywhere you're gonna go, I'm gonna be with you with my Spirit. Paul takes it further and says, hey, in Jerusalem, Judea, and to Samaria, wherever you go in the name of the Spirit, I am with you. Go be my witness. So maybe for you, you're at this place today where you want to choose for yourself to follow Jesus. Hey, we welcome you to do that. There's going to be a team to pray to my right in just a few minutes. They would love to pray with you and help you come to the understanding of what salvation looks like for you today. Don't wait. Pray with them today. If the Lord put someone's name on your heart, I would say, pray over that name today. Come up with a plan by tomorrow of when you want to tell them and talk to them about what God's been doing good in your life. You don't have to point out anything wrong in their life. Just share with them what God's doing in your life and then be prepared to answer the question that they have. That's 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do it with gentleness and respect. Beautiful scripture. And guess what? You get to live out and obey scripture every time you share the goodness of Jesus with someone else. Local church, thanks for having me. And my prayer for us is today we would go back to the T. We'd sit on the basics to better whatever part it is with us about knowing Jesus, sharing Jesus, and wanting more of Jesus. And then the kingdom of heaven would come to earth right here in MIMS, right here where we live, work, and play. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for meeting us where we are. Thank you for local church. A beautiful flavor of heaven right here in MIMS. God, I pray that your hand would be upon local. God, that you would bless and protect it, that you would lead it. God, that it would grow, that it would represent heaven, your grace, your sacrifice, that it'd be a place where people come for decades to come, their lives forever changed. May that be in and through local. But Lord, you do a work in us today, and we'd be your witnesses, both here and there to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray.